Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started.
Welcome to another episode of Pachanga and Possibility. On today's show, we're talking about out-of-body experiences with our guest, Nancy Trivelato. She is an expert in astral traveling and the energy body. She is the founder of the International Academy of Consciousness and a wealth of information. You're going to learn that shortly. We actually had to break up this episode into three episodes because there is just so much amazingness that we have to cover. But part one is out of body experiences. Part two is psychic self-defense. And part three is psychic kids. We've got lots of delicious information coming your way. But today we talked about out-of-body experiences, what they are, how to start doing them, why you should do them. Out-of-body experiences can really improve your way of life and society, and she explains why. So you definitely are in for a treat today. I'm going to read you her bio. Nancy Trivelato is a consciousness researcher with an undergraduate degree in literature and a master's in research methods in psychology. She is a founding member of the International Academy of Consciousness and the Institute of Applied Consciousness Technologies. Since 1989, she has applied her efforts not only to understanding the consciousness and the mechanisms which produce these so-called paranormal phenomena, but also to teaching these topics all over the world. Nancy established the Journal of Consciousness, of which she was chief editor for 15 years, and is the author of the book Vibrational State and Energy Resonance, Self-Tuning to a Higher Level of Consciousness, a practical and theoretical guide to mastering and understanding the human energy body. She conducts studies on out-of-body experiences, and her current research project is on children's non-ordinary psychic experiences. To know more about Nancy's experiential background and scientific approach, watch her TEDx talk on how out-of-body experiences could transform yourself and society. So you guys are in for a treat. Today we are bringing the science to the woo-woo. Get ready. Without any further ado, here is Nancy. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here today. How are you doing?
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm enjoying very much the opportunity, and I look forward to our chat. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm so excited. There's so many delicious topics. We're going to do our best to stick to an hour. This might turn into a part one and part two because you are an arsenal of information.
I'll be glad to do a part one and part two and, you know, share as much as possible.
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your words.
Well, I have been studying about spiritual practices, but actually more with a scientific focus for the past 30 something years, 32. And it was out of personal interest because I have had, when I was a kid, some experiences. But for me, they were, you know, just like everyone else. That's it. And that's what life is. I didn't pay very much attention. But one of them, which I tell in my TEDx talk, so I'm going to say very briefly so that we contextualize, but I saw something that I couldn't have a way of knowing that absolutely. And when I got to an age in which I, you know, finished my university degree and started working in some administrative positions, and life was feeling a little bit like not empty because I was happy and so many things to do, but purposeless, kind of. Like I wish to dedicate my heart to something that was very important inside of me. So I started studying all of these different ideas about chakra energy. And I have had experience of sensing my chakras, have had some clairvoyance when I was a kid. And as I explain in my research about psychic children, some of them were fearful. But, you know, I just left all that in the past because we are supposed to grow, to go to university and to have a career. And then that's what we are expected to do. But when I started studying, I noticed that there was a huge gap in understanding all of these phenomena that I have experienced. And my heart went into helping create forms of understanding that better, but especially in helping people to understand their experiences, because it made such a difference for me when I could understand what I used to experience. Since the time when I had one of my first out-of-body experiences that I saw my uncle in a hospital, and I have never seen a hospital, I have never traveled out of my small city where I used to live, and we were from a family that we had very simple way of living. So that was so mind-opening to me, and I wanted to offer that to whoever would be interested. Because truth is, each of us, we are going to find our truth according to how far we can grasp. So we need some experience and we need to have some internal impulse to look for answers. But the answers only come when the questions are inside of us. Otherwise, it doesn't help if you bring information. The questions are not there. The experience is not there to provide some grounding for people to understand the questions and the information you are providing. So that has been, you know, my dream of bringing a little bit more of light into this. Imagine if we could make just the conventional science accept a little bit more that there is something beyond this life, something that our eyes cannot meet, something that this body is not part of. It's more subtle. It's a different reality. Just a little bit of that would make a huge chain reaction of opening our minds and our planet. And of course, there are many scientists engaged into contributing to bring this information also in a more serious way. But when I say many, it's in absolute numbers, but when we think in relative numbers, in percentage, it's insignificant. So I do this hard work of trying to speak to lay people, but at the same time, speak to a scientific audience and bringing light into all of this.
So I want to say thank you for doing that, because that really helps people take our work as intuitives and healers and everything in between be taken more seriously, because this can be proven scientifically, but we need brave pioneers like you to do this work, because I don't have that mental
set up
to wrap. Yes, that's why I didn't want to get my PhD, because I knew I had to take statistics. So thank you for doing this work.
I did my master in statistics for psychology studies to help, you know, finding ways to research all of that. So you are right on the spot, wonderful. Natalie.
Incredible. So how did this work take you into the International Academy of Consciousness? Like, how was that born?
You see, since I started studying all of this, I went to many different groups. And I would say all of them, they were very good people with very good heart, very good intention. But the type of answers they provided were not good enough for me. Because I'm going to say something here that's a little bit paradoxical. But sometimes the explanations that I would find would be so simple that to me they wouldn't make sense. Would be just something like, oh, if you are a good person in your heart, that's it. And I would say, but there are people that they do harm intending good. So are they good or are they bad? Also, there are people that you see them in a specific moment, that they can be very gentle people, but something changes in their lives or they are in a crisis. They become like monsters. So were they good or were they bad? So those very simple explanations and very simple type of healing that you just do this and this will work for everyone. For me, that didn't make sense. For me, it was like, well, it can work, but when and how? And when it doesn't, why is it? So my mind was more into understanding the mechanisms and the whys, and also understanding why for some people it can be so easy to sense a non-physical reality and even some sort of healing, because we know it happens and there are many serious studies. But for others, it's absolutely out of their realm. So what is different from one person to another in that case? So this is what was behind all of this. So then when I came to studying this and I saw that, I found a place that would try to dig into some of these, then I engaged. It was an organization under a different name. And then we just changed the name for International Academy of Consciousness. And we have been operating for many years. We have a lovely research campus in Portugal. One day, please, Natalie, come and visit us.
I'll be with you. It's beautiful.
You did.
I saw the tour.
It's amazing and it's worth knowing. And so that's why I'm here. And I like the principles that the IAC carry, because of course I am one researcher, one instructor, and I have to be in consonance with the principles of the organization. And we try to be very correct in what we do, not manipulating, not convincing anyone, and trying to be open-minded but scientific at the same time. You said something, Natalie, before that I agree 100%. It's so hard to find people that they want to keep, you know, walking this fine line, being open to everything that happens and trying to discover more, but at the same time being sure that they are not going to the other side and just start, you know, like with fluffy crazy theories that are unfounded. So I like the IAC because I have here an opportunity to explore all of that. So it's been a long time. I am one of the founders of the IAC myself and my husband. I am very lucky to be with someone who is in the same path. So we practically built it together.
That's beautiful. I love to hear that. I also am blessed with a wonderful partner who's also on the same path and fully supports everything. So it really makes a big difference. And yeah, I am looking forward to visiting the campus. Absolutely. So tell us, let's start with OBEs, out-of-body experiences 101, which is that synonymous with the word astral travel, or is there a difference?
In practical terms, it's used as a synonym. But when we actually examine the meaning, if we would be more technical, there would be slight differences, because you can have an out-of-body experience in which you disconnect from your body and you just float above. And that can expand your mind and you can come to lots of conclusions and see the energy around, but it's not a, you know, like we cannot call that an astral travel. You didn't go anywhere. You just stayed inside of your bedroom. But for practical terms, they are used as synonyms. So we do use it as synonyms as well.
Okay, great. So what exactly happens when you have an OBE? They can be both self, or it'd be like you can create and have your own, initiate your own OBE, or you can have one that just happens to you without you looking, soliciting for an OBE, correct?
Both can happen. The spontaneous one is much more common, of course, and happened to many people. We did a survey with almost 8,000 people. And the number of people who had similar experience is shocking. Sometimes people come to talk to me for like a session and describe their experiences, and many never studied, they never read, just had experience that they didn't understand. When they start reporting, I find it wonderful that it's so similar from one person to another. But having said that, it's a bit complex to describe in details how one out-of-body experience is, because it's the same thing of both of us. Natalie, we go to a Thai restaurant. One of us may love it. For the other one, it's too spicy. It can settle one for one of us and not so well for the other. So it's very, how can I say, related to who we are. But what happens in an out-of-body experience, and I think it's very important to explain this in detail, is a phenomenon completely different than dreams and completely different from lucid dreams as well. Because both regular dreams and lucid dreams, they are still in the realm of dreams, meaning our brain, or actual brain here, they are creating that reality. And we may control it or not, know we are dreaming or not. And we may, in the case of the lucid dream, even use that dream because we are lucid, we are controlling it. We may use it with some specific purpose that can be, you know, for a therapeutic purpose. It's super interesting and important. However, that's in the brain. When it's not in the brain, we cannot call it a lucid dream, and that's what confuses some people. The out-of-body experience is a phenomenon in which we are actually experiencing life and manifesting ourselves independently of the brain and our, we call it consciousness, but we can say our soul, our spirit is somewhere else. That somewhere else can be just, you know, floating in our bedroom, or can be the other side of the planet, can be out of the planet, but it also can be in a different realm, like in a different dimension of life, where we can meet people who are in between lives. And that's what makes so people scared of the out-of-body experience. There are a few things that I want to explain, because in the case of a dream, when we remember a dream, we are remembering something that took place in our brain. When we remember an out-of-body experience, we are remembering something that happened independently of the brain. So we have to transfer the information of what we experienced, witnessed, and learned into our brain. And that's where sometimes it creates some confusion. Because if the person is not, how can I say, prepared, but prepared in terms of information, knowledge, to understand everything that happens, it can be that someone experienced a reality that is so different that they cannot make sense of it. But in some cases, even an individual who is having his or her first out-of-body experience, that may be so clear, that for them, there's no question and the recollection is perfect. What I'm trying to say here is that we have two components in the out-of-body experience. One is being lucid, being aware, being in control of oneself, one's mind, knowing who we are, what's around, thinking, deciding, associating ideas. It's all of our mental capacities are there. So we are lucid, manifesting ourselves completely in a non-aligned condition as to our body. So we are separate from the body. The second thing of the out-of-body experience is recollection. Because the recollection is a complete different thing, because we may recall just a fragment. Some people, they just recall, for example, sensation of buzzing and they detaching from the body. And that's it. They do not remember what happened afterwards. So that can be confusing to some people and even fearful, because if someone just remember, you know, they sensed something that was strange and they didn't know what it was, later on, they only have that memory. So to study scientifically the out-of-body experience, we need to also be experienced projectors who manage to project outside the body, because then we are able to decipher what's going on. It's the same thing to be a good doctor. It doesn't help if you just go to the internet and put with this type of disease and pain what medicine you choose. It doesn't help, because you need to learn how to recognize the patterns. You need to see loads of pictures of that type of illness. You need to study many different cases until you are able first to understand. And then you will interpret and look for what that means. So I think this point of the out-of-body experience is is what, you know, eludes many people. The out-of-body experience is a real experience that we can somehow live without the physical body.
So how do we know when you say that lucid dreaming and dreaming happens in the brain and that OBEs happen outside of the brain? How do you even know that? Like, how do you know the difference between those two? Is there a way to measure it, or?
Yes. Because in the case of the dream, you can control the dream. The lucid dream, the whole point is this. You are dreaming and you can control the dream. So for example, Natalie, I could have a lucid dream tonight, or perhaps I could have had a lucid dream like a couple of nights ago. And I think, okay, I'm going to be with Natalie in a couple of days. So let me think I'm talking to her and I will prepare. So poof, you appear there. And poof, all of a sudden I create a microphone and there I am with my microphone. So all of these we can do in the lucid dream, but we don't do this in an out-of-body experience, because the out-of-body experience is like an objective, stable reality. So it's like me trying to transform this environment here in something else. I cannot, but I can. Now I complicate the matter, but I need to make this parenthesis. If someone is in an out-of-body experience, but they are not lucid, this that I'm explaining can be different. Because not being lucid means what? Not being in control fully of our mental capacities. So if we imagine somebody who took drugs or who is drunk or who has a mental problem, the person may be looking at something but not understanding and creating a completely different thing inside of their minds. But this is because the person is not in control of their mental abilities. So if in an out-of-body experience this sort of incongruency happens, is because the person is not lucid. Of course, when I explain the out-of-body experience, I am explaining that one, that we are as lucid as both of us are here or more. And that is the classical definition. But there are times in which in an out-of-body experience, we are not as lucid. So things may get a little bit fuzzy. As one day here, you are too tired or too worried and you experience something, but that got confusing our mind. So bottom line, it's us experiencing a reality. In the case of the lucid dream, it's everything under our control. We are witnessing something that we can influence, but we decide it. Having said that, Natalie, for those who are now listening to us or watching us, I would like to mention something that is loads of people, loads. They have out-of-body experiences, but they call it lucid dream. But that is a problem with definition. I sense many people do not know the difference. So for them, it's something more than a dream, but it's a lucid dream. But I have also seen that in the case of some others, they prefer to call it lucid dream because they find it less threatening to themselves to say, yes, I have lucid dreams. So they don't have to think very much on what that means to them. But I also see people who teach about lucid dream that they explain sometimes their out-of-body experience as a lucid dream. I see value in that because at least they are explaining something that people can experience without fear. But I also have some criticism towards that because I think that does not enlighten people on their actual real potential. We have the potential to be lucid, to manifest beyond our bodies. This is what happens in a near-death experience. In a near-death experience, a classical one, and there are many cases now that we can study, and many excellent scientists. I have an interview with Dr. Peter Fenwick, who was one of the pioneers in my channel. But when we see all of this evidence that people like Dr. Fenwick, Samparnia, so many others, Bruce Gray, some big names that they have compiled throughout the last decades of work, we see cases in which people were clinically dead, and they witnessed facts, sometimes things that were happening at that very moment. But sometimes meeting relatives they never knew they had, or accessing information they couldn't have accessed while they're dead, they're brain dead, they're completely dead there. And this alone brings us a lot of evidence that we need to take seriously all these phenomena and put the right names and enlighten people that we are more than this body. Otherwise, we just bring these as a silly, fluffy thing that people can take. Yes, let me do an adventure and a romance outside the body, blah, 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 as if it's a joke. But that does not educate us to the fact that, hey, I am not my body. I need this body to exist here. There is a purpose. What is the purpose? But I am not my body, and I don't die with the body, because this makes huge difference for us in terms of how we see life. If we think we are stop existing with this body, we are going to have one set of standards or principles for our life, values. But if we know that life moves on independently of the body, we may just have different values and apply different principles in our life. So I like to be in details, but I like to be exact, let me put it in this way, in explaining all the differences, because that is educating people about something that is real. In the same way now we can distinguish so many different wavelengths of light, which before we couldn't. So same thing, let's now understand different types of phenomena and how they can be beneficial or they can harm us, in which ways, when. But that is it. This is part of life. Living the body is part of life. You cannot escape it. You may run from it for a long time, but one day, sooner or later, in this life or in another one, this end up catching us, and eventually we have one of these experiences. But I have to say that in the survey that we did, I think only 12% of the people said they have experienced things that they couldn't understand, that they were uncomfortable. So we know this is a minority of the cases. Still, we have to understand those, of course.
So what is the anatomy of an OBE? Because there might be people who are listening who have had an OBE and they don't have the vocabulary to describe what they experienced. So for someone who would have no idea but had something weird happen, who might be saying maybe it was a lucid dream, is there a certain anatomy to the experience that they can say, oh, okay, I've identified this as an OBE now?
Yes, it varies a lot from people to people. But there are a few things that I hear from people that they'll tell me, I'm not sure if that was a dream or it's a different experience that I had. And I say, no, that is an out-of-body experience. One of them is people dreaming of flying. We are not birds. We dream of things that are part of our lives. We dream of being late for a commitment. We dream that we are discussing with someone, or we are eating something, or, you know, this is the type of thing. We may dream that we are in an airplane or we are going somewhere, but if you feel you are flying, but you are feeling, it's not just, no, you feel it, you control it, you go lower, you go higher, and you can sense most probably, and I cannot say for sure because, of course, we have to examine cases, but most probably, this is an out-of-body experience. Now, what I suggest to those who are watching us is that they think of their childhood, because this is very common for children. But later on, we stop having the out-of-body experience. Most people stop. So some people may recall it. The other thing, sometimes people have out-of-body experience in which they access real information. For example, they meet someone who tells them a secret, or who gives them an important information, or a relative who is in a difficult situation, and later on they go check. That is it. The person was thinking of telling the projector who was outside the body about that issue, but then the encounter outside the body happened before in physical life. So this type of thing is another thing that you cannot have in a lucid dream. A lucid dream is something that is internal, only you. In the out-of-body experience, you exchange a reality, or you live a collective reality with others. So you may encounter other people. You may encounter someone who gives you some sort of feeling that is peaceful. It's big. You feel hope for the whole humankind. But you may also encounter someone or go to a place that tells you, wow, I don't like the feeling here. So that is not subjective. That comes from outside. So we have to learn to recognize what came from inside of us, even in the case of lucid dreams, and what comes from outside. And this recognition is very important because there are cases. I'm going to briefly tell one of experiences of mine. Can I, Natalie?
Yes, absolutely.
Very simple one, but I think that will help because I had one experience in which, very simple, I had moved to United States just for like, it was 1 year before that time. And I was flying above some areas that were like woods, lots of woods and plants, beautiful, that now I recognize something like the areas of Yosemite or something like this. But at that time, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I was super lucid, controlling, knowing I was outside the body, trying to figure out what place was that, looking at, you know, the elevations and everything, examining the trees, completely lucid. Until then, I went to a point that there was a cliff and I didn't expect the cliff. So that gave me a surprise for one fraction of a second. You know, you were flying. I was what I would describe as maybe 5 meters above the trees. And all of a sudden, because of conditioning with physical life, what happens in a case like that? You know, it calls your attention. And that conditioning caught me there. So I look and immediately I had like one fraction of a second. Then I tell myself, no, I'm projected. But later on, looking down at that cliff, I saw several different things like a small village and cars. But with the experience that I have in interpreting the out-of-body experience, I know I cannot be sure that the cars I saw in the village were real. Whilst I know what I saw before was real. Why? Because when emotion enters in place, it tends to bring us to a dreamlike state and it mixes with the out-of-body experience. I am not saying anything that will be difficult for people to understand. On the contrary, tell me, how many times we go to talk to somebody to say one thing, or we are going to a place to solve a situation and you want to do it this way, you planned, you rehearsed. But when you get there, we get nervous or somebody else is rude or something goes out of our control. And then we get nervous and everything happens in a way that you hear people telling you something that they never meant to. You overinterpreted. You reacted emotionally to things that were not really there. And you act in ways that later on people tell you, but you were rude. You said this. I didn't. No, I didn't mean that. So here in our physical life, that is a so stable reality, we also have that, of course, in different degrees. So we have to think that if we are projected outside the body, this may also happen. And we need to know how to interpret. Here, I was only my mind looking and thinking. We have feelings, but they are much lesser degree than what we know. But when emotion gets, you know, higher than our thinking process there, we have to doubt if what we saw could be somehow, you know, damaged, tainted with the emotions that we had. And this is so interesting because sometimes people are afraid of leaving the body. But any little thing brings us back. If you are, for example, seeing a sunset in a certain position, and you see the sunset and you see all the energies that come. Maybe you are seeing the sunset above the ocean and then you see the energy of the water and all of that. And it can be so beautiful that just by, you know, letting ourselves go too much into that, we come back to the body because the emotion fluctuates. So coming back to the body is easy. Managing to stay lucid, in control for a longer time, that's what's hard in the out-of-body experience. I hope I managed to explain a little bit of some elements that people can trust on, because each experience is different. So
does everyone see the silver cord, or does that vary? Because I know for me, I don't see the silver cord.
No, it's very rare that people see the silver cord. It's an exception of the exception. Most people don't see, most people don't even sense, because the silver cord will adjust to a level of density. Those are not precise words, because we do not have words in our dictionary to describe something that is not physical. But let's say the silver cord, when we are lucid enough to be able to see it, it's so subtle, the energy, that's not easy. When the silver cord is very easily noticeable, most of the time we are very close to the body, any little thing brings us back. You know, some of those experiences when we feel we are awake, but we are not, and then we want to move, and it's so hard and heavy, or you want to jump, and you feel heavy, and then you say, ah, I was sleeping. I thought I was really here in the living room. So experiences like that, because when we are very close to our physical bodies, sometimes the silver cord is with more energy in it. And then it's easier to sense, but hardly we do, because when we do, bam, we are back in the body. So yes, it's possible to sense. It's very rare to see. It's easier to sense, but still to sense is very rare. So for those of you who don't, you are just like 98% of the projectors. That's it.
Okay, good. I always wanted to ask that. I had this experience. I was sleeping. This was 2014. I was asleep alone in my apartment, and all of a sudden, I became aware. I had the sensation of my chakras turning off from the bottom up. And they just were shutting down. And my awareness was that I knew they were shutting down. And it shut down from the bottom up. It goes all the way to the top. And once the top crown chakra turned, like, closed, I exploded, like, out of my body and became everything and one with everything. And it was the most euphoric feeling ever. And I swore I died. Like, that was the level of, like, intensity and lucidity. And I remember thinking, this is why nobody wants to come back, because this feels amazing. And I was aware of who I was, but I didn't necessarily see my physical body. I was aware of a loving presence, but just aware of its presence, not like I couldn't see a person or a thing, but I just felt the closest thing. It was like me encompassing all of space. It was just this amazing experience. And then I got pulled back into my body, and probably because some sort of emotion or something, like now how you're explaining, I got pulled back into my body, and I was devastated that I was back, to the point that I cried the rest of the night because I was back in my body. And it's been, at that time, with the level of knowledge I had back then, I was really trying desperately to figure out what happened. And some people called it the shaman death. Some people were just like, oh, it was a dream. And I'm like, no, I know. I dream vividly. I know when I'm dreaming, and they're like the regular, you know, irrelevant dreams. I know when I'm visited by a guide or a loved one, or it's an intuitive message. This falls outside of all of the categories that I've ever experienced. Have you heard of this happening to people? Do you have language to help me interpret what happened?
I've heard of it happening many times. We study a lot about it because it's a very important phenomena. And the way you described, it's a perfect example of a classical experience, with all of the details, including feeling like crying when we are back. Not crying of pain or sadness. No, it's crying of knowing so much beauty exists out there and we want to reach it, and somehow it escapes. But it's almost crying of being happy, of being fulfilled, but at the same time of not being able to grasp that anymore. It's a mix, right? Am I right, Natalie? Because that's how people describe it. What happens is that when we have an out-of-body experience, we have a certain level or some degree of lucidity that is what is common to us here. So we can be outside the body even more lucid than we are here, but it's a tiny bit more lucid, almost like we are more intelligent. We know more. We connect things more. We understand everything more. With understanding comes peace within. That's it. But what happens is that sometimes in one of these experiences, and it can happen when we are already out there, but most of the time it happens when we are still inside the body. So the two things happen concomitantly, like we leave the body, but at the same time, we are with this expanded awareness that we call cosmic consciousness, which means for a moment, our mental capacities. So how would I explain it in very simple words? It's almost as if we have here the physical body and we have our astral body, our spiritual body. And when we are projected, we are with that body. So we can see our hands that are not physical. We can see energies. Okay. We can fly. But sometimes we can have an experience that goes beyond, almost as if the mental part of us goes out of the limits of this brain or of that astral body. And then it goes and encompasses a bigger reality, which right now we are immersed in it. But we can sense, I cannot sense, you cannot sense, and those who are watching us now cannot sense, because the physical body imposes that limitation. When we are outside the body, we can all of a sudden, it's like we are grasping reality. We are one with everything, and by feeling that blam like this at once, we feel peace, we feel love, we care for everyone, and that touches us deeply. So this is called cosmic consciousness. Some people have it while they are still inside the body. Some people have it when they are outside or getting out. In your case, it happened like getting out, the two things simultaneously. What I would interpret by the sensation of shutting down the chakras, I would interpret one of two things that I think are more probable. One of them, that is my number one hypothesis, would be that you start detaching, disconnecting from the body, going upwards, like in this position. So many people say, oh, we go out of the body floating, or through our feet, or through our stomach. No, we can go out of the body anyway. But, you know, if we start sliding up, of course, you feel disconnecting. The last part is this. And when you get out, bah, everything comes. And that sensation of a cosmic consciousness is in here, because it's our, you know, our lucid part is here. I'm not here in the tip of my finger. Oh, this is my finger, but it's not me. I am here, right? What I feel is here, but I'm here. So I would interpret in this way. But when people have this experience, they are still inside their bodies. They can be still like feeling completely the body and have just this sensation of like amplifying or illumination or explosion or not even sensing much. Just comes, bam, this feeling or this experience. It's not a feeling. What you had is not a feeling. It's an experience that gave you all of that different angles to appreciate life. It's very nice to hear that, yes. Natalie. Congratulations. Yes. That's a gift.
Oh, thank you. That was unsolicited. And I was, when I came out of that, I was just like, what just happened? Another one that happened that explains the other type that you're explaining, where I was still in my physical body. And it happened at the strangest time. These are the two that have been like very strange for me, because normally my method of getting into non-ordinary reality is through going into trance by the use of rhythm and a shamanic journey where I travel to the lower, what they call the lower world or the upper world. And that's where I go to these other realms to communicate with my guides and stuff like that. And in that, using that method, I've had amazing experiences. But this one was another one that was not solicited. I was in like a nightclub, actually, once. It was this one of my favorite restaurants. The music's playing. There's live music. And I'm with friends. So it's like a normal 3D regular experience. And all of a sudden, my awareness shoots up into the ceiling. And I'm looking at the whole restaurant from the roof, from the like floating above my body. And all I see, my awareness was like, this is all like a script, like a play. Like we're more than what this is. And we're here momentarily playing these roles. And not to take things too seriously, just to kind of play along, yeah, because this is just part of a bigger tapestry of what's happening. And it was just the weirdest thing, because I was in such a, what I would consider kind of a dense energy type of place. There's alcohol and people are just like, I mean, they're happy because they're dancing and eating, but, I'm not in a spiritual place. And then I had that awareness and then boom, I came back into my body, but I knew that I was still in my body. And it was just wild. It was wild to have that experience. Yes.
I imagine you could look at that and say, this is such a small part of reality. It's not that important. So, you know, because sometimes people, they get so attached to this life as if it's everything. If I lose my car, it's everything. Mm-hmm. This house is mine and they are going to fight to death and they are going to fight with the whole family because of a sofa, because of a picture. And then when we look from that perspective, wow, our whole lives is small compared to the many lives we had. And this physical environment we are in, it's very small compared to everything that exists in the other realms. So it gives us this ample vision. We kind of, I'm going to use a word that I like very much. I hope everybody understands. We kind of re-perspectivate, like put into different perspective what life is. And that's what we need, a new lease of life, in which we can see things from a broader perspective. There is one analogy that I often make that it's like, suppose we are in a concert and something is happening. Somebody is having perhaps a heart problem. And all of a sudden, there's that huge commotion. People moving, moving. You do not know what to do. And everybody starts getting agitated. But then you get a ladder and you climb up. When you climb up, you understand exactly what's going on. Oh, there is this there. Oh, this. Oh, the best way for me to go is this. Here is the closest exit. No, I go here because that person there is going to help. This is what this type of experience and the out-of-the-body experience gives us. It does not change our reality. It does not change our problems. But it gives us a way of seeing things that they make more sense, that we have different strategies, we have more information. We cannot live our lives well without information, because each day we are making decisions. Going to work again tomorrow, it's a decision. Changing work, it's a decision. Talking about a serious topic with our closest family member is a decision. Not talking and let it pass, it's also a decision. So every second we are making a decision. The more information we have, the better it is. So number one thing is, who are we? If we are not this physical body, of course, now we have an identity. And I pretty much have one, right? Where I was born, how I was raised, what is important for me or not, how my body reacts to what I eat, to what I see. Some of us, we have very strong bodies, others not so strong. So, of course, we have an identity. But who are we beyond this identity? How much of the identity we have now and who we are now was actually innate, brought with us from previous lives, from the period between lives? How much of the feelings and goals we have and ideas were things that we knew before being born? How much of our traumas and fears are with us since before we were born? And then, considering that we are not rigid physical beings, but we are energy beings, that, you know, we can contact so many different realms of reality, how much of what we experience is only us experiencing, and how much could be influenced by other people around, by the energy of places. So it's complex, but if we do not try to see a little bit more who we really are, beyond all of these different masks and influences and amnesia that we have from what we were before, if we do not try to get some clues, we may just end up living our lives in a way that we made up or we assumed. It's an illusion. It's what other people tell us life is about. It's what other people tell us it's who we are or what we have to do. So what is it that you there have to do? And of course, that is something that I reevaluate for myself every day. And we learn, oh, 10 years ago, I could have taken that decision differently. This is healthy. This means today I know more than I knew 10 years ago. But at least every day I make an effort to see who I really am. And we do not get to know all of the details. But if we get this little bit of a clue, or like the experience you had, Natalie, that you changed your understanding of life by an experience like that, that little thing makes, you know, a chain reaction. It's a huge difference on how we relate to people, how we can forgive people, understand people, and forgive ourselves, and also understand our limitations and ourselves. So I find that these topics we are discussing about, the out-of-body experience and cosmoconsciousness, expanding our awareness and daring to know what is beyond just the physical realm and the physical body, I think it helps us in many different ways. And it can make us much happier by making us feel more fulfilled. We are close to who we are. Whatever we are doing, it's what we want to do. Or at least we are trying, we are fighting for what we want. Most people don't even know what they want. So
yes,
this
yes.
is the world we live in.
That's, you pretty much answered my next question, which was why, you know, how is OBEs and this work of projecting yourself play a role in your day-to-day life and in your own healing and all of that. And you just explained that beautifully. Mm-hmm. You're making decisions second to second. And the more data you have that you collect while you're doing these experiences will help you eventually be more fulfilled.
Yes, definitely. And I used to say that all of us have problems. That's another thing that I like saying, you know, Natalie, because sometimes people, they create a perfect image of someone else. And some people, they take advantage of that. They present themselves as special, as perfect, as having more abilities, as knowing more. So imagine I tell here, no, because, you know, I have out-of-body experience. So I know what my life is about and I am always calm. That's not true. And I never met anyone to whom that would be applicable. We all have things that we would like to be different and better. I have the things that I would like to be better at. I said there were things that in the past for me were good decisions, and now I think I could have done better. This is growing. We have to learn how to cope with who we are and accept we are learning. That does not mean accepting and being, you know, just idle, not taking measures. But it means taking measures with happiness that now we got it. And never, ever, ever accepting anybody telling you they are better than you, more special than you spiritually. Someone can be better than myself in mathematics. Okay, great. They can be medical doctors and know things about the functioning of the body that I don't. They can even know how to project outside of the body much better and may even have had much wonderful experiences than mine. No problem. But they are not better than I am as consciousness, and they cannot tell me what to do with my life. Don't ever let anyone tell you what to do with your life. Because in this area we are studying here, people take advantage of whatever is it that they have that it's a little bit more unique to guide others on what they have to do. And no, we cannot be guided. We can be inspired. you can get information, but what you are going to do with information, it's up to you. Because otherwise, as you said, Natalie, in the beginning of our talk, and I appreciate that very much. Some people, they do things with these ideas, manipulating people, creating another cult, just getting, you know, followers. It's not really teaching. It's just getting followers or just thinking of what you are going to make out of that instead of what you are going to give with whatever you do. And that contaminates a lot the seriousness of the work of those of us who really care about humankind, who really cares about the other, who really care that everyone learns how to feel better. If this were possible, we would have a better world. Unfortunately, there are people that they really don't care about others. And unfortunately, some of them are up there in the hierarchy of getting the politics of our world, and we suffer with that. But please try to isolate yourself from the moment. Those of you who are watching us, as myself, we may be in a hard phase, but that's not who we are. That's not who we are, and don't let anybody put you down. But inside of yourself, seek for what is important and look for good values. This always pays off because this life will end to everyone. Myself, Natalie, and all of those of you who are now listening to this. So if life will end, that is the final point of whatever is disturbing this life. What is it that we are going to carry with us? How have we been able to improve ourselves internally, spiritually, to have a better future life and a better period in between lives after we die with this body? So that's what we have to also care about. And no matter how difficult our phases are, we have to keep this in mind. This will end. And I want to go through it in the best way I can, so that I learn and I can avoid similar things in the future. I think that is very important. You know, I never get tired of saying that because I see too many people that they get gullible or they are gullible and are manipulated.
Mm-hmm. How does one start practicing OBEs? What's like a beginner's practice?
For a beginner, I would say, number one thing, learn to relax. Learn to relax, learn to relax, learn to relax. There is nothing you will do that will help you get out of your body if you do not know how to put your physical body aside. If the physical body is
too present. Do you have tips for learning to relax?
I think one of the things that could be helpful is like observing the moment we fall asleep. Because most people, they are all the time with their minds busy, thinking of something, what they have to do, what they should have said. You know, the mind is busy, thinking. And they're relatively tense. And there is a moment in which they fall asleep. And that moment, they cannot tell when. So they went from being completely awake to boom, not lucid at all. So whenever we get used, too much used to this, this makes it harder for the out-of-body experience to happen. Most out-of-body experience will happen spontaneously when we are, for example, just taking a nap, but still kind of conscious of the reality. But we are not in a hurry. We are not, you know, we are just there, absorbed with something else. So that is one important thing. It has to start with relaxing the body, but also how to relax the brain, which is kind of reduce the brain activity. Think with lower brain waves. That is very important. That's why some people, it's a small percentage, but it happens, they are just meditating and they leave their bodies and they're never intended to. Or some people, they are meditating or relaxed, and they have what we call the vibrational state, like a huge, intense vibration inside of their bodies, as if the body would be shaking, the body would explode, all the cells would be, you know, moving. It's a pleasant feeling, but Some people, they are scared of that. What is it that, what is going on with my body? And it's not the body, it's the energy. But we feel so clearly that it sounds as if, or it feels as if it were the body. So all of these things can happen, but only when we are tuned in a certain way. So everything is in here. So I guess that is the number one thing, because we help people in learning how to live the body many different ways. We have the consciousness development program that Wagner and I have written, and we have many restructuring and updating of the course, and has been taught in 28 countries in person. And now we are giving it online. So again, experience. But on top of that, we have like a program that we offer here, only here at the IEC campus. That is one student, two instructors, myself and my partner, Wagner Allegretti. And only dedicating to help the person and getting more sensitive, having more experience, understanding what is stopping them or helping them, what's behind, contextualizing their experiences. And we've learned many different obstacles that stop people. Sometimes it's energy blocks. Sometimes it's fear, but even unconscious fears. Sometimes it can be a spiritual influence that interferes when they are trying to leave the body. But all of these things, they have to be considered and worked on after relaxation is 100% full. So you who would try to leave the body, try to learn how to relax to the point that you don't sense the body, but you maintain your awareness. So the body sleeps, you don't sleep. If you get to this point, many techniques can work for you. And of course, each of us, we will have a different technique that is better for us. We are different people. So what works for Natalie may not be as good for me, but it's easier to adjust the technique when we have this first step established. It's so silly because it's like, relax the physical body. Yes, but we have been working with this for 30 years, helping people and coaching one-on-one sessions. And that's what stopped most of them. The second thing that stopped them is fear. The third is energy blocks in their energetic structure. And the fourth is spiritual influences that many people prefer not to talk about, but we sense, we know there's something there, so better to understand it and be able to work with it.
Great. So the person relaxes their body. So let's say for me, as an example, I know that I fall asleep quickly. So I have to do my spiritual work in the morning when I'm fully rested and in the seated position, in order to increase my chances of having an experience. So once I've achieved relaxation, do I set an intention to leave my body? Is there a certain process?
You set the best. Of course, I'm speaking on the very basics that would work for everyone. Mm. But just to understand what you say you do it in a seated position. You would do it in a seated position?
Yeah.
It is possible, but the idea is that in that condition, people just find a position in which they can let go of their bodies. So that, because suppose, for example, someone would be seated with their spine very straight. Wonderful. We can. But we may get to we can for a brief period of time. If we have an out-of-body experience that's like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that is going to be a problem. Because the relaxation of the body gets to a point that we will end up moving or jerking awake. And that brings us back. So it's possible. And some people find it easier in a position like that. But then I would say recline. So that if when you are out, your body is not going to move at all. And then finding the good moment when our mind is awake, rested, but our body would be able to relax. So for some people, it's middle of the night, for many. For others, it's afternoon, morning. But if it's morning and you know you have to go to work in 1 hour, it doesn't work. Because you say, okay, I have a full hour. I have a full hour. But in the background of your mind, there's something that is taking your attention. So you have to know, time doesn't exist. I'm not stressed about anything. And then you have the openness to explore reality beyond the physical body. We could put that into the words you have put, Natalie. I have the intention to, as long as it's not pushing. Because intention too, sometimes people consider like doing a movement. So they try and they try. And when we do this, it may work. But usually it works for people who are more experienced. Most people, when they do that at the beginning, they end up tensing a little bit the body. So it's not the best. The best is you are open. You put your intention on that without acting. So your will is there, but you are observing, wishing, letting it happen without anxiety. So it's a threshold, very, you know, delicate one, because you have to want, but if you want too much, you don't leave the body. So, and many people struggle with that. And then they detach and they are like, wow, now I am out, and bam, comes back because of the emotion. So that is very common situation.
Okay. And so then you just kind of get to that relaxed moment and hope to to leave, but don't try too hard. And
you can try. Yes. All of that is basic. But then you can also try a technique. And there are many techniques that we can find in many different places, and some we have shared there in the IAC channel. I have many shared in my channel, and there are so many others that we teach in the consciousness development programs. So there are many techniques. The hard thing is to adjust which technique will most probably work for you, because some of them, they resort, for example, on concentration, but the person is not good at concentration. Others resort on focusing on the breathing, which is an excellent technique. But some people, when they are detaching from the body, they feel suffocated. Why is it? Because outside the body, we don't breathe. So some people, they are just aligned with the body, and they are aware of the breathing. Even if it's very shallow breathing, they are aware of it. But all of a sudden, they are not breathing because they detach, but they can be still very close to the physical body. And then their reaction is like, something is wrong, something wrong. And then they return. So it's really very delicate moment. Delicate because it's very easy. I have had projections in which I tried a technique, and when I do it, I say, huh, it was so easy. I used a technique, in 10 seconds I was out. But I had days in which I tried for like an hour and a half, and I couldn't. So everything is a matter of percentage of success. And for those who are trying, I would say, don't expect it to happen immediately, but it may. Be prepared. And if you have to try harder and harder and choose and try different techniques, do it. It's worthwhile. That's how it is. Because sometimes when we tell about our experience, in people's mind, it's like, oh, it's always in that way, or it's always that easy. No, there are days that are easy and there are days that are not. And also, you have phases in life. We can have a phase, for example, in 1 year in which we had 15, 20 wonderful out-of-body experiences. But then you spend 3 years without any. So what is the difference? So there are many factors involved in that.
Yes, that I can attest to. There's eras where traveling all the time, astral traveling all the time, and having all the experiences, and all of these things are all compacted together. And then there's seasons that I have where it's like a dry spell. I have too many things going on, too much stress or this and that, and it's hard to get to that point. Or even my routine changes. And if I don't have the ability to meditate every day, kind of like right now, if I don't have the ability to meditate every day because now I have a 6-month-old baby, it's really hard. Not really hard, but it's just not as often. Like, yes. I feel like I can't.
It's not as often. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, it doesn't happen as quickly as it would before. Mm-hmm. That's definitely what it is. One other thing that perhaps I could suggest to those who are starting is that they prepare their energy, energetically speaking, because what connects our physical body to the non-physical body, some sort of energetic interface. There's an interface that connects them both that is present and operating the whole time. Most people, due to lack of a fitness with their energy body, and we even created a program that we call Energo Fitness, because people need to get fit with their energy body so it's more prepared to stretch, to get loosened, and at the same time to be strong when it's needed. But some people, and I would guess it is your case from the experience you told me, Natalie, some people, they naturally have this energetic interface more loosened, almost as if the glue that is there is more flexible. So it's easier for them to detach. But others, these energies are so rigid that they have first to unglue or soften up or melt down a little bit these energies, this rigidity, so it becomes easier when they do a technique for the non-physical body to get out. Otherwise, you know, you can relax as much as you want. You can do the best technique for you, but you're stuck and it takes so long and so much effort. And some people, they feel they're almost there, but they are almost there for 2 hours and don't get out. And it can be frustrating. In this case, what I recommend is the Velo technique. It's a simple technique, moving energies up and down. If I may, Natalie, anyone who wants to learn, I teach this in my channel. So it's a longish video, like 25 minutes, 30 minutes. So we don't need to use our time here. But that technique helps a lot. We recently did a research study here at the IAC. Actually, who conducted the study is Ana Laura Trivelato. She's my sister, but she is the president of the IC, and we have been working together in this area for like 20 years. And I say it's so lovely to have people close that can understand all of this. But she did a research study, very serious one. She presented in the Beyond the Brain conference, which is one of the major conferences in this area. And it was about Velo. And she taught Velo to many different individuals who didn't even know what energy was. Some knew, but only like 20% of them knew the International Academy of Consciousness. The rest never heard of it. Few of them did some courses here and there of different areas. Most didn't even know what a chakra was. And many of them got out-of-body experiences. Many of them got vibrations in the body and chakras unblocking because the technique is very good. But it's important to do it correctly. Well done. And even though the technique is so simple, when we have energy blockages, when we have areas that we are hiding from ourselves, you know, when we put something very down inside of us and layers on top, then it's hard because the energies are going to move there. But it's all like stuck. It's rigid. The energies don't move. So that flexibility that we need is not there. So to reach that flexibility, we also have to prepare our energies and block our chakras. But that makes us stronger. So it's like one thing leads to another. So I would say very deep relaxation and work with your energies. This is 70% minimum of the way to live in the body. These two. And then adjust the technique and see if there are fears or anything, but that will be, you know, the hardest part is done.
This is the first time that somebody's pointed that out, that there's this gap between like the technique and the person, and sometimes you struggle. And I had seen in so many situations where it's, for some reason, it has been easy since the beginning for me to leave. I thought everybody could, but I would go to these different courses and meet these different people. And specifically, I remember I was in one mystery school where we were working with a shaman, and she was teaching everyone how to do a shamanic journey, which is pretty much a directed like OBE with an intention. And this one student could not leave. She struggled big time to be able to journey. And she wasn't the first time I had seen that. And I was just, I didn't know how to help. Like, I was just like, what would I do in this person's case to help them? You know, and I just figured maybe not everyone can journey. Maybe it's just not the right time for her. things will happen, you know. So I just wasn't sure. So having this explanation that there's this energy fitness and that there's specific techniques to be able to loosen your physical from your spiritual to be able to astral travel is, that's great. And so you, there's also, so you have the Velo technique. Is that the same thing that's in that course that you mentioned? The, is it Ergo Fitness?
Energo Fitness. In the Energo Fitness, we practice many different techniques. We practice Velo, but we practice other techniques so that the energy starts becoming flexible, also helping people to, you know, cross that area through which we feel like we sense energies or we don't. Because many people are in doubt. Am I doing correct? Is this feeling that I have real energy feeling? What am I supposed to do in a situation when I want to cleanse my house? Or what happens when I am under a bad influence? But in this Energo Fitness, we don't go so much into technical explanations. This we leave for the consciousness development program. The Energo Fitness is, let's pull our sleeves up and exercise. So then we lead people into the Velo technique and help them to do it better and motivate, and we do different exercises. It's really like physical fitness. We have to do it. We have to gain different skills, and people just spend, let's say, 30 years of their life, 20, without doing anything with their energies. They just exist. And bad energies come or good energies come. They lose energies or they apply their energy, but they are not even caring. It's the same thing as if we spend our whole lives without taking care of our bodies, without doing not even one exercise. Okay, then tomorrow you want to start it. Some people, they are so naturally fit with so good muscles. In 1 week, they, bam, are out there. Others, they will have to exercise for a couple of months. It's very much the same, but we cannot be healthy, especially spiritually, in terms of the quality of our energies, if we do not put into practice all of this. But some people, they naturally have these energies more loosened, like you, and that is excellent. But some people, they have energies loosened like that, but they pay a price, because sometimes they go to a place that the energies are not so good and they sense it. Somebody's thinking something not nice about them and they know it. Sometimes we are going to go to bed and there's some sort of thought that keeps invading us and we want to take it out and we can't. You seem to be a person that genuinely means well. That helps. But still, sometimes we get better, bad energies.
Oh, yeah.
So
definitely. So I think that's going to be the part two of this, is going and how to navigate that, because I have so many people tell me, I'm aware of I have this ability, but I'm scared because either something happened or they're scared just because of what you see on TV or different things. So I definitely, I know you have a lot of tools and you go into depth on how to deal with this. So maybe that'll be the part two of this.
I will be happy to share. Yes, explain more about this, because many people, they stop themselves out of fear. And sometimes they feel sensations that are super normal, but not having knowledge, they get concerned and then they stop it. They try to stop the experience. And maybe also, if we could one of these days, Natalie, address about children's fear and children's experience, because parents need to understand what to do. And I feel like part of my mission in life, you know, to explain about that. I found many different information about this. In my experience and according to my studies, none of them going to the right point, in my opinion. So I make it a point for me to try and bring all of this knowledge that I have together to see the different angles of this issue of kids who are sensitive and helping kids, because many of them are, you know, they are afraid because they sense things they do not know how to handle, and they don't deserve to live like that.
I was not aware of that problem until I saw on TV the show called Psychic Kids, And they had these intuitive psychics come and mentor the children and the parents, and the struggle that these parents were going through with the kids, and the terror that the kids were living in because they didn't have the language or the education and the tools to navigate their own abilities. They were just highly psychic or highly sensitive and overwhelmed by these really intrusive energies. And it's a problem, and to be able to spread this message and empower these parents. And I feel like more and more all of these spiritual communities giving birth to highly sensitive children who are even more in tune, and we're just becoming more and more sensitive and open, that we really need to have this information as parents in our toolbox. So that is going to be part three of the podcast.
I told you
this was
going to go.
This is going to just keep growing. So that's wonderful. So how can people work with you if they really resonated with your message? How can they work with you and with IAC?
Yeah, they can visit my website. I offer private sessions for people who have issues they want to talk about in this area or in other that may be interrelated with, you know, more spiritual things. But also I teach with the IAC, the International Academy of Consciousness. We have many different courses specialized on energy, specialized on self-defense, and mostly the consciousness development program is a broad course. It's award-winning courses for life transformation. Together with the Dalai Lama, Deepak Chopra. So it's very important. It's our signature course, we say. So I feel that can help a lot, because what this program does, and that's what I like about it, of course, I teach it and I help write it. But the reason why we did it and what we try to put there is to connect the dots. Because some people, they are sensitive, but they read something about the mysteries of ghosts. And then they heard that there is a technique to heal somebody. And then they heard that there is another phenomenon. All of these are separate pieces. We need to connect this all, because everything is just one body of knowledge. It's like studying the physical body. We need to understand how this body works so that we can know what's right or what's wrong. And it's the same thing. So people talk about life after life. They talk about life mission. They want to know what is it that they have to do in this life. They feel there's something that they have to do. But if you do not have proper information, what are you going to do? Just guess, or, you know? So I like very much this course. I would recommend, but we can continue chatting here and bring more if we can, Natalie.
Wonderful. And really quick, is there any disclaimers with this work? Is there a particular population of people who should not try OBEs?
I would say people who have psychiatric problems, it's not for them. The OBEs is not to help somebody who has real psychiatric problems. We need to be mentally balanced, because physical life is already hard enough for some people. But on the other hand, I want to say this with the right perspective, because people who have something that is not clear here in their brain, they may start confusing. Oh, I have sensation that this is out of the body. And when we hear that, we know, no, this is not an out of the body. And the problem is not the out of body experience. So people need to be normal. Look what I'm saying, normal. You don't have to be happy. You don't have to be special. But on the other hand, we have already seen so many people who were unhappy, who were, you know, with issues to understand their experiences, because they experience some of these things. They do not know what it is. They do not know if something is wrong with their minds. But they are normal. They use their rationality. They want to find out, because our course is about studying, thinking, examining ourselves, understanding life, understanding spiritual life. So this is what it is. But all of a sudden, understanding all of that brings such a peace inside. Such a sense of, oh, now I get it a little bit better. For some people, it's a taste of the experience you told us, Natalie, in which you all of a sudden feel like, oh, I understand a lot. This brings me calm. I know what is going on. Because many people, they are so interested, but they do not find information broad enough. So like I said, for me, the explanations that were not explaining why, they didn't fit me. They didn't bring me that feeling now, like now I am in the right place. So that's what we tried to convey to this consciousness development program. And all the help we do is to help people understand better all of this. But we are not prepared to take psychiatric cases, simple like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's to be ethical. That's why I want to make sure, since anybody can listen to this, absolutely, I want to make sure it falls into the right hands. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. Listeners, I will put all her information into the show notes so you can find the information for the International Academy of Consciousness, as well as working one-on-one with Nancy. It has been a pleasure. I have learned so much, and I'm excited for the future episodes that we're going to do. You're just a radiant being. If you're watching her on video, her light is amazing. But just thank you for your time and for the work that you're doing, because you're really leaving a legacy. This is worldwide work, and you're going to leave a legacy, and that's amazing. And I'm really intrigued, because I think you're helping me bridge. I'm such a skeptic that I've really struggled coming out of what they call like the woo-woo closet, because I have the same questions, just like why and where does this come together and says who, and to bring in the science into this arena so we can speak from a perspective of that's backed by science and just speak intelligently about these things and not just be like, oh, it's energy and it heals everybody without the fluff, you know?
Yes.
It just really grounds these practices. So I'm just really looking forward to reading your book and to looking into the academy. I'm excited. So thank you for your time. And
thank you so much, Natalie. It was a pleasure. Good luck with everything, with the baby. And thank you for putting such a platform for us to discuss things in a serious way. I am very grateful. Thank you very much.
All right, everyone, it's a wrap.
Thank you guys for being here. I know that your time is the most valuable thing you have. It means the world to me that you're here. There are many more cool episodes coming, so go subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If this episode inspired you, please leave a review so this show can reach more people who need healing. Every month, I'm giving away my productivity planner to one lucky listener who shares the show on Instagram and tags me at @NatalieOneLove. Again, thank you for being here. I love you guys. See you in the next episode.